If you call everybody a white supremacist, Maisie Hirono, nobody is. And that's exactly where we are in the society. I think it's a bunch of like white suburban women feeling offended on behalf of a culture. It's like, did anybody ask you, Karen?
The Mock and Daisy Common Sense Cast.
Can I get a little bit of that common sense? You know what?
What?
Today, I feel triggered by so many things. I feel triggered. So I'm going to cancel all those things.
Oh,
wait. I feel triggered. You know what I feel triggered by? I feel triggered by the fact that potato chips have too many calories.
Yeah, well, that's...
Because I just ate an entire bag. They were even stale. They were stale, but I was hungry. And I feel triggered by the fact that they have too many calories, so we should cancel potato chips.
We should, particularly stale ones.
Nobody should be able to eat potato chips, because I'm pissed off at the potato chips.
Boycott potato chips.
Yeah, cancel them. Destroy them.
Because that's what's happening to everything now, right?
Destroy
like, everything
them.
Is being canceled.
And destroyed.
And destroyed. It's one thing to just not buy something that you don't like.
Yeah.
Or not buy something from a company whose values you disagree with.
Or just silently say, to yourself, self, I don't like that. And then shut up.
But see, that's not what happens anymore. Now, everything has to be not only canceled, but destroyed. And the people behind the things that you don't like anymore have to be destroyed and dealt with in severe and swift ways. And, you know, when I was thinking about this, I was trying to think, when did this actually
begin?
Start? Like, who do you think was the first actually canceled person?
Oh, God, I can't.
Because there's so many examples.
Well, there are a lot of examples. I think this is way too recent, is Megyn Kelly.
That's a good one, yeah.
Megyn Kelly was about 2 years ago. Wasn't it about 2 years ago or a year and a half?
Something like that.
Because she just talked about blackface, didn't
right.
she?
She wanted to have a discussion about when it's, particularly when you're trying to emulate someone who is black, is it ever okay to wear a costume?
She just wanted to have a discussion.
Right. She didn't put on blackface.
No, not like Governor Northam of Virginia, who still has a job. Or is it Trudeau?
Trudeau wore it three times.
Three times. Also was reelected, as I recall.
Yeah, because some people escape the canceling.
And usually it's liberals.
So
I'm sorry,
weird.
All the time it's liberals.
So
that's
weird
who
it's
happens.
Very, very weird. But I would disagree with you about that, because I do think some liberals end up getting canceled. Mm. And when I think back to when did this all start to happen, I wonder if it started with the Me Too movement.
You think?
Because if you think about it, that's when...
They started coming at people with pitchforks.
Yeah, and so men who had... I mean, obviously, Harvey Weinstein, Bill Cosby, those people are predators and they needed to be reckoned with. But out of that whole movement, it seemed like it spun into women just being like, well, that guy said inappropriate things or touched me inappropriately, or we had a bad date.
Yeah. And then
20 years ago,
that guy said I had a nice ass in 1985. And so now he needs to lose his job as CEO of this company.
I mean, that's where it started happening
all over. You know,
I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know. That's just where my brain tracks back to. When did we start actually doing this to people?
Yeah. And now we have fast forwarded to a guy at he's a CEO of Boeing who, 2 weeks ago, I think it was actually a week ago, it was right when we came back from vacation. You weren't here. It was the Monday I came back, and I talked about on the show with Rob, our producer Rob, how there was a CEO of Boeing who stepped down as CEO because I think it was like 20, 30 years ago, he wrote an essay because he was a naval aviator, and he wrote an essay about how he didn't think women should be in combat. So apparently you're not allowed to say that anymore.
Well, you were allowed to say it 30 years ago.
But
you could actually have an opinion about things without losing your career or your livelihood.
But people are going back 20, 30 years as to what you said 20, 30 years ago. And they're like, oh my God, this guy said this decades ago. Let's cancel him now. And this is what people are doing.
And what's ridiculous is that he apologized. He apologized and gave in to the woke scold crowd.
The rage mob.
And I don't know why people are doing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is, and that I think is where the problem lies in a lot of these cases, a huge majority of these cases, is that people are weak and they're giving into the rage mob. And so it makes the rage mob have that much more power, and they are emboldened to say, let's cancel everybody. I mean, they're like just foaming at the mouth, and they're emboldened to tell everybody what's what, and you're going to be canceled, and you're going to be canceled, and we're going to destroy you too. And they have this sense of power, and that's not okay.
Well, and it does affect people that you would think contributed to this whole culture anyway. Jimmy Kimmel's like, what, on some 3-month hiatus, right? Because of his blackface stuff. Jimmy Fallon apologized for wearing blackface and imitating Chris Rock. I don't even know how many years ago. They tried to cancel Howard Stern recently because Howard Stern showed up in blackface in an old clip.
Yeah.
I mean, there is no one that is safe from the rage mob. No one is safe from it. And so then you wonder, well, then why don't we just stop doing this to people? Why don't we just allow people the grace of having made maybe not so great choices 2 or 3 decades ago?
Yeah.
Can we not just say that happened in a time where it wasn't looked at in the same way it is now and recognize that and just move on with our lives?
Yeah.
Like, why does this have to be, why do people have to lose their jobs today over something that they did when they were teenagers?
Yeah. And it's frightening because you think of all the people that, because we didn't have social media back in the day, thank God, because of all the just the
can
stupid,
you imagine?
All the stupid shit that we did.
Oh my God.
Back when we were teenagers, you know, and it's just stupid stuff. I'm just talking about like just going out and making poor decisions. And then can you imagine if we would have filmed that? Because everybody films everything now, you know, just, and so I always tell my daughter, I'm like, you know, you're not going to have a Twitter. You're not going to have this. You're not going to have that. Just, I'm not saying that she's going to make poor decisions, but you know, every teenager makes poor decisions. And
so,
and it's not that you're going to say stupid things. You're going to be an idiot and say awful things about people. I'm just saying that, you know, every teenager makes poor decisions. And the problem with nowadays is that teenagers are living their lives online. And so I'm afraid, like from an HR perspective, a lot of these kids 20 years from now, those HR departments are going to go back because this is the course we're on, right?
Yeah.
A lot of those HR departments, you were in HR, it's like you used to look at people's Facebook pages. Well, Facebook only went back so far.
Right.
Now, these kids who are in, you know, middle school, high school, they're going to be looking for jobs, what, in 10 years or whatever. And these HR departments are going to be able to go back and say, God, this kid was an idiot in high school. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hire him.
And look at the posts that he or she liked.
Yeah.
Or look at what he or she chose to comment on. I mean, that's, I really get scared. And I'm telling my son this all the time, that even though, because I, you know, I obviously monitor his phone activity and he has these little group chats with his friends, right? Uh-huh. Where they share like some inappropriate memes.
Yeah.
Because this is a thing that teenage boys particularly love to do is share inappropriate memes. But I always tell him, I'm constantly trying to drill this into his head and I don't think it's stuck yet because they continue to do it. But I'm always like, what happens when one of those friends turns on another friend and decides that because, you know, my kid or one of the other kids in the group shared something inappropriate, they're now going to get a screenshot and share that with, who knows, like a principal or a teacher or someone in authority.
Yeah, it's like Mean Girls, but with a bunch of boys.
Right. And then who's to say, because there's no loyalty in middle school. They think they have loyalty among their friends, but we all know better.
There's no loyalty in high school.
Well, exactly. And people turn on each other constantly.
Yeah.
And that's the fear, is that anything that you put into the world stays there in perpetuity. It doesn't matter if you deleted it. It's there. If somebody screenshot it, it's there forever.
Yeah.
And it's such a huge worry.
Yeah.
And so the more that we continue on in this kind of culture, everyone is at risk, which is why I don't understand why we keep perpetuating it.
Yeah. I think the reason it's perpetuated is right now it's a political thing. And the people who are perpetuating it think that they're on the right side of politics. But the problem is, it's kind of like what you say, it's things come around. And so when you think you're on the right side of things, you're like, oh, we've got the power now. We can do this. And this is great. Well, one day you may not be on that side.
Yeah.
And so to advocate for that sort of behavior is not, it's just not a good thing to do because you may be on the receiving end of it someday. And would you like that? It's like, it goes back to the golden rule, right? You always, I would hope people would teach their kids about the golden rule. Yeah, how would you want to be treated? Well, I mean, how do you want this for other people? I mean, we're talking about stuff like at university level, the cancel culture, the, you know, the kid at Marquette, the girl at Marquette that got her acceptance into Marquette University, which is a Catholic university. I swear Catholic universities are the worst now. But, you know, she got into a Catholic university and then she had the audacity to say, to put online that she's a Trump supporter. He's the president of the United States. So what? And then you know, I guess kids, you know, people that she'd be going to school with, they got wind of this and they, you know, made a big deal out of it because she dared to be a, you know, I guess a conservative Republican Trump supporter. And then the administration got wind of it and they're like, we're going to have to ask you a few questions. What the hell is your thinking? Is your thinking that you don't allow anybody with a different, what your political ideology is leftist?
Like officially?
Is that it? Because, I mean, is that, because that's what we're seeing in universities across the board. Because that seems a little communist to me. That seems a little weird. I mean, I know that Marquette is a private university, but we're seeing this across public universities as well across the country. But they asked her a bunch of questions, which I think is a violation of her civil rights. I don't think that she should have to say or at least defend her stance on Dreamers, her stance on immigration, her stance on a lot of things. She shouldn't have to answer these questions, which she had to.
Yeah, because it was basically made into a condition of her, what she thought was already acceptance. Administrator calls and is like, well, we're just going to need you to clarify why.
I don't have to clarify crap to
this
you.
This isn't part of a questionnaire of acceptance into college.
No, and then it was. And then like we saw at Penn State just this week, I think it was today, actually. Penn State, there was another thing where they put out, and I can't remember the exact wording. It was like, your
viewpoint matters or your opinions matter.
Had like a campaign where it's like, your viewpoint matters. And they said to Muslim students, your viewpoint matters. To Black students, your viewpoint matters. To Jewish students, your viewpoint matters. To conservative students, your viewpoint matters. Well, when they put conservative students out there, the
school rebelled.
They
were like,
out.
We can't have conservative viewpoints mattering on our campus.
So they took it down.
And that's the thing. We keep caving, and so they keep being emboldened, and we just get more of the same.
And that's I think that's the problem, is that people keep caving. People are ballless right now.
Which was why it was such a refreshing thing for the CEO of Goya to refuse to apologize for complimenting the president.
Yeah.
I was so happy about that.
Thank you for having some balls.
For real.
I'm so sick and tired of people saying, oh my God, I need to apologize because I'm so afraid of being called a racist. You're not a racist.
And there's no reason to fear it because the word has become utterly meaningless.
It has. If you call everybody a racist, nobody is. If you call everybody a white supremacist, Maisie Hirono, nobody is. And that's exactly where we are in the society, is that everybody's being called that. It's so watered down, it means nothing anymore. I mean, we've been called racist, I don't know how many times.
God, since we began.
And I remember when we first were called that, it genuinely hurt my soul because I know what I am, you know? And it used to kill me.
Well, it used to be a universally, an insult to end all insults, right?
It was awful, just awful. And now people call me that and I'm like, whatever, shut up.
Right, because it doesn't mean anything anymore.
It doesn't mean jack squat.
You know, now that I've just said out loud in this podcast that I think that the cancel culture started with the Me Too movement, now I want to correct that, because now I'm remembering that when we wrote our book in 2014, remember when we went on the Don Lemon show, Don Lemon.
This is he actually treated us nicely. He would treat us like crap now.
Oh my God, we would never be allowed on that show.
No, we wouldn't.
But back in the day, we were allowed on his show. And one of the things that I remember we talked about was this push by students at various universities to cancel out Halloween costumes.
Oh my God, yeah.
So this is actually goes way back further.
That was more of maybe it started with the cultural appropriation push. Like you can't appropriate somebody else's culture.
My culture isn't your costume.
Culture isn't your costume.
Remember? But that was kind of an example of this whole idea.
And white suburban moms got on that train.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, my kid is not going to wear a Pocahontas costume.
I mean, I have a picture of my kid when he was in kindergarten, and they made out of a grocery bag like a little Indian feather suit. Mm-hmm. And he had like a little headdress with the head of feather.
Yeah.
And it's adorable. Yeah. It's the cutest thing ever. But I can't, whenever I come across it in Facebook memories, I'm like, oh my God, we would be in trouble now.
Yeah, they take that down.
Yeah.
Your whole account would be suspended now.
I'm surprised it hasn't been, just because that picture exists in the world.
Yeah, and I remember I dressed like that. I remember when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I totally dressed like that.
And it was fine.
Yeah.
Because people didn't get just like out of control, bent out of shape, outraged over every little thing.
Well, I mean, it was the 70s, right? It was a different time.
By the way, you're wearing leopard today, and I feel like that is culturally appropriating.
So I know. I'm culturally appropriating a leopard.
And I don't think that they would like that.
Well, you know, come at me, bro.
So anyway, I think it goes back even further than I originally thought.
Yeah, I mean, it probably does. But see, that's the thing, is that at that point, and it's here again, it's like another thing where they're not apologizing, but I think it's a bunch of like white suburban women feeling offended on behalf of a culture. It's like, did anybody ask you, Karen?
Right.
Did anybody tell you that they were offended? It's like we're getting rid of all that, like the Washington Redskins. We're getting rid of, you know, a lot of these like Native American names. Where has anybody asked the Native Americans how they feel about this?
And I'm sure there are some that are all for it.
Probably.
And then there are some that are like, this is completely idiotic. Why? Yeah. Why do you think that we're this naive, this vulnerable to your insults that aren't even really insults?
Yeah.
Why do you want to be victimized like that? Why do you want to allow words or symbols or mascots or names to hurt you?
Or maybe,
I don't understand the people
maybe,
that want that.
Maybe they enjoy going to Atlanta Braves games.
Exactly. Well, and the Braves are like, we're not changing our name. We might get rid of the chop, but we're not changing the name.
Which is dumb.
It's dumb, but at least it's not a name change.
Yeah.
And they say it's because they already have very good communication with the Native American community, blah, 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 blah,
blah. I think the bottom line is, when it comes to cancel culture, a lot of this just, it stems from people being offended on behalf of other people. And then now it's like they've tasted, this whole group of people has, they've tasted blood in the water, right? And they're like, oh, we can do it now. Because the people who are apologizing are giving that other group power. And they've given them the power, you know, because they're like, oh, well, we can do this now. We can cancel people, and not just cancel, but destroy lives, make people lose their jobs. And that's what, you know, in essence, conservatives are afraid of. They're afraid of saying, no, shut up. I'm not going to do this, or I'm not going to apologize, because they're just saying nothing, because they're so afraid of being called racist. They're so afraid of losing their jobs. They're afraid of losing their livelihoods. They're just afraid because they've seen it happen. They're afraid of losing everything that they've worked so hard for, because they know it can happen.
Well, because the goalposts move every 4 seconds. Mm-hmm. Like today, remember we talked about this because somebody put on our Facebook page the fact that if you, now the new thinking is, if you use a GIF or a meme or a picture of a black person expressing an emotion, or use it in a way that is trying to express your emotion,
like as a response, like on a Facebook post, you
right?
Know? Yeah.
So, like, if you use Shaq,
I love,
you know,
that
doing
one.
The little Shaq shimmy,
I love that,
which I use constantly.
Yeah.
If I use that as a white person, that is equivalent to digital blackface, and I could be canceled for that.
This is, I mean, it talk-
we're not allowed to use it.
Yeah, that is totally moving the goalpost.
Because
what's next?
I mean, that's the thing. So, you know.
I love Shaq.
I love Shaq, too. I love so many of the gifts of black people who are making hilarious expressions represent what I am feeling.
So does that go the opposite direction? Does that mean that black people can't use white?
No, it does not mean that.
White gifts?
No, because again, only white people can be racist, according to that line of thinking.
This is ridiculous, because it goes back. It also, you know, along the same lines, it's like, remember the whole hairstyles and hoop earrings. I wear hoop earrings like every single day, you guys.
You are such a cultural
appropriator. Do you remember?
Totally.
When we talked about that on the show, like, I'm not supposed to be wearing hoop earrings because it's cultural appropriation. I'm like, I wear them all the time. I'm going to continue to wear them. I love hoop earrings. They're my favorite. But hairstyles, you know, like, white women can't have certain hairstyles because it's cultural appropriation. Yet Beyonce can have blonde hair.
Mm-hmm.
Why,
that's fine.
Why is that fine?
Because it only goes the one way.
But why? who makes these stupid rules?
The woke rage mob.
I don't, like, who are they? Who put them in charge? Oh, wait, everybody in this society did. Because they allowed them to have the power.
Because we keep handing
we
it
keep,
to them.
Exactly.
We by keep, apologizing.
We keep rolling over like dogs, like with our bellies up in the air and going, okay, you can. No, it's a bunch of crap. Stop it.
We're not going to do that.
Just stop
this
it.
This is why you're wearing hoops. You're such a rebel.
Well, I'm not really. I'm going to continue to wear my hoops. I don't think that is a cultural thing.
But it's like,
they're just earrings.
But even the Kardashians get slammed whenever they try to do the cornrows. You know what I mean? Like, Kim Kardashian, I think, has tried to wear cornrows, and she always gets slammed, but never to the point where she's canceled completely, right? Because she's like a cockroach that
won't
die.
That's right. I mean, that whole family is like cockroaches.
I mean, they just, nothing phases that family.
Mm-mm.
So, I mean, there is some truth to the fact that some people pay the price and some don't. And there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to it.
No.
It just feels more like conservative conservatives are getting the
they get the bad rap. They get the worst of it. They get destroyed the most, which is, I think, why a lot of, like we say, conservatives are the most frightened.
Mm-hmm. Especially now.
Yeah.
Especially now.
Exactly. It can be terrifying to be a conservative right now because we're being the most squelched. We're being the most... talk about discrimination. I mean, if you see it at the college level where these kids are like being told, you don't belong here, you may get your acceptance rescinded. That's kind of a problem, you know?
That's a huge problem.
People will poo-poo that and say, oh, that's not really happening. Well, bullshit. It's happening. Mm-hmm. It's totally happening. If it's happening at that level and it's happening at, you know, job levels, people aren't getting hired because they're conservatives or they're losing their jobs because they're conservative. You think that I would ever get hired into a university system again?
Or that I would get hired into HR?
Yeah.
There's no way
on God's green earth I'd ever get hired as a professor again, ever.
But also, I was a terrible HR person.
I was actually a good teacher. But I'd never get hired again because if they looked at my background, they'd be like, are you kidding me? There's no way. Because there are a bunch of liberals working at colleges now. I'd never get hired again.
And I can't imagine how much worse of an HR person I'd be now in this environment where everyone is so...
Walk on eggshells.
Well, and jumping on the whole Black Lives Matter diversity train. Mm-hmm. I already was irritated that I had to put together an affirmative action program every year because I thought that was so racist.
Yeah.
I kept thinking, why would Black people, why would minorities want to know that they're being chosen based on
their...
On their skin color.
Yeah.
It's so insulting.
I know. It's just like saying, you know, a woman is being chosen because of your lady parts.
Yeah.
It's like you should want to be chosen because of the qualifications and because of your skill and because you've worked hard to get there.
Yeah.
How is that not what everybody wants?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't understand that either.
And this whole idea too of like cultural appropriation, you know, has extended into Hollywood, which is weird because they're so leftist. But when you see Halle Berry, for example, turning down or giving up a role playing a transgender man because she believes that only transgender men can tell their story.
Well, she says she believes that.
I mean,
because she's been told that she needs to believe that. And it's easy for her because she's made all of her freaking money.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's such an absurd concept and statement to make anyway.
Yeah.
If trans men are the only people that can play trans men, then I hope those trans men actors never want to play anything other than trans men.
Yeah.
That's the logic.
And
right?
What is the point of acting?
I thought it was because to be other people.
It's not, I guess, apparently. And if that's the case, then Halle Berry should only, what is she, 53? She should only be able to play 53-year-old biracial women.
Right.
That's it. That's all she can play. She should only be able to play Halle Berry.
Wasn't she Catwoman?
I'm obviously ready to play Catwoman because I've got my leopard on today. But this is the thing. Then all the actors in Hollywood, is what she's saying, is that should only be in reality shows.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're no longer actors. The whole point of acting is acting like somebody else.
Right. Someone that you are not.
Yeah.
And a role like that ostensibly would have stretched and challenged her, and that's supposedly what actors want.
That's what they used to want.
But now, mm-mm. They gotta just bow down to woke culture and take their lumps. And that's exactly what she did. She caved. She was like, yeah, I'm not gonna take this part. Scarlett Johansson, I think, did the same thing in some sort of trans role.
Well, it's,
where she was like, oh, I shouldn't do that.
Well, that's dumb.
Yeah.
That's totally dumb.
It's
and
really dumb.
People shouldn't be patting them on the back. They should be saying that's stupid because you're no longer an actress then. And that's nice that these women can say that, like I said, because they've made a gajillion dollars already.
Yeah.
But what about the women out there who are struggling, who want to make it in the acting business, who actually want to act?
Yeah, we shouldn't believe in what Halle Berry says she believes in until she starts donating her entire net worth to the causes that the woke mob is telling her she should support.
Give all your money up to the trans activism causes that you believe
in. Because otherwise, what has she really given up?
Yeah, just be quiet.
Unfortunately, the examples go on forever.
Yeah, and
right?
On our regular radio show, we do a segment every day on this.
Every single day.
Every day.
And every day, it's almost like we're shaking our heads in disbelief that it's gotten this dumb.
Yeah, and I think that's why the CEO of Goya was such a breath of fresh air, because he was like, hi, here are my balls. And I'm not kowtowing to you lunatics.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing it. And so we were just so delighted that he didn't do that, because he dared to say that President Trump was a builder. That's all he said, you guys.
Yeah, and that he prayed for him in his leadership.
So he prays and he thinks that Donald Trump is a builder. That's That's it. And then the left wanted to destroy him. And they wanted to not only destroy him, but destroy the company, who, by the way, is filled with Hispanic people.
And which gives a lot donated-wise. I mean, like, they feed huge swaths of the population.
They're super charitable.
Very, very charitable.
Yeah. And so I'm looking at that, and I'm like, okay, that's what you want to destroy. What the hell's wrong with you?
And what makes it worse is that some of the loudest people who are wanting to destroy an American business were Congress people. Mm-hmm. AOC, Julian Castro, these are the people that are actually calling out for a boycott of a business. It's unbelievable that Congress is allowed to do that.
Yeah, it's crazy. It is pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. And then people were cheering that on. Like, you know, it's just like that whole, talk about bullying.
Yeah.
That's bullying.
Thankfully, there's a lot of people that leave us nice comments and reviews on the iTunes podcast platform. And one of the, I'm just reading the comment now that we got from Runner Schmom. Runner's Schmom.
Runner Schmom.
Runner Schmom. Which actually speaks to this a little bit. She says, just found your podcast and love all the things about it. My favorite thing so far is mocking the social media influencers and their voices. Mm-hmm. On a serious note, conservatives are facing increasing pressure about their beliefs.
Yeah.
Thank you for what you do, fellow conservative and common sense gal.
Yeah.
Emma calls us a breath of fresh air.
I love that.
She says, I don't miss one now that I've found this. Never miss a Facebook Live either. And then Fuel with Spark says, I learned so much from y'all about politics and current events. You give me great zingers to use in response to the liberal nonsense many around me like to spew. Keep up the great work. And then someone listened to our podcast last week with Dinesh D'Souza, which was fantastic.
It was pretty enlightening for a lot of people, I'm sure. A lot of people don't even know what the 1619 Project was.
And there's no one better to break it down than Dinesh D'Souza. Mm-hmm. Candy Crash Not Cool says, just listen to your podcast with Dinesh and it did not disappoint. Always appreciate his perspective on the issues in the political world, especially what is occurring now. Love the COTR podcast and radio show on 93 WIBC. A forever fan and supporter of the Chicks. Karen.
Hey, Karen.
The good kind.
The good kind of Karen. Listen, you know what? I think there's a way to be loving towards one another, but also not roll over.
Mm.
And I think that conservatives tend to be quiet and we tend to be polite. But in our politeness, I think we've started to roll over too much. And we've always been big advocates of, you know, standing up for ourselves and fighting back a little bit more. And when I say fight back, I don't mean, you know, throw things.
We do not condone violence on this show.
No, we don't condone violence on the show, but I think that we tend to be a little bit more polite. And sometimes you got to go, enough is enough.
Even if it's something as simple as sharing content from our website with a friend of yours who needs it.
Because I think it's kind of like, what was it? Mox shared something with me the other day about how this sweet woman sent us an email. And man, I love it when this happens. And what was she like, 50 something? And she's like, I converted.
Oh gosh, that makes me feel so good. I think she was 57, I want to say.
And she said
she'd been a lifelong Democrat and that we are the ones that converted her.
I mean, that's a big deal, you guys.
Holy cow.
And it's because of the way that we talk to people about it. It's not like, it doesn't have to be combative and it doesn't have to be, you know, bitchy, for lack of a better phrase. You can do it in a way where you're like, listen, it's just common sense stuff. Read some of this, kind of be kind of funny. You know, you can do it in a way. We've tried to do that over the past 12 years. It's always been very conversational and try to do it in that way. You can do it in a loving, fun way and people will come around. I truly believe that. Out of 10 people in a room, it may be one, but if you get that one to listen, then it's worth it.
And there's no bigger compliment. For me,
when
I read that, and it's there's no bigger compliment for what we do.
I'm right there with you.
It's just amazing.
Right there with you.
And speaking of compliments, if you would like to subscribe to the Mock and Daisy Common Sense cast and leave a nice comment, as these lovely people did, we sure do appreciate that.
Heck yeah. Follow us on our website at chicksontheright.com. And then we also have an Instagram page at chicksonright, Twitter, which is the 13th circle of hell, at chicksonright.
And now Parler.
We're at Parler. You guys, all the cool kids are going to Parler.
For real.
Yeah, because eventually we're going to be off all the other things.
Right, because we're going to get kicked off and canceled. That's what happens.
They're going to destroy us on every other place, which is legit. That's going to happen. So definitely follow us on Parler because we're there and we have quite a few followers.
Yeah, I think we're up to like 46,000.
Yeah, a lot of people are out there. So go check it out if you haven't done it already. Parler, P-A-R-L-E-R.
Mm-hmm. French for Parler. Which means to speak in French.
All right, you guys, have a fantastic week. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye!